What's the word for today? Okay. It's about truth. We're working through the Sermon on the Mount. All right, so we're going to do a quick preach on this now. We're working through the Sermon on the Mount, okay? We've come away from it for a few weeks because we wanted to cover the mission thing. And we wanted to cover... So you can just drop that a minute while I do a bit of introduction. Because that's what they'll all be reading that and they're gone. And they're back, most of them. So I got up here so you can see me. Hiya. So we took a few weeks out for the mission and for last week, Pentecost and stuff. So we're back now looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And it's very important to realize with the Sermon on the Mount what Jesus was doing. He was laying out the manifesto for the Christian life. It's a very demanding thing. He's not just looking to have arguments with Pharisees. That's not what he's looking. If someone's arguing with him, he's out of there. He's looking for hearts that are open. That's why he talked to Pharisees that were open, and he would go that extra bit. But he wasn't just going around picking fights with Pharisees. Often he was trying to move away from that. But what he was doing was laying out this manifesto. So every part of this is absolutely key, absolutely crucial. And as I've been looking at this oaths thing, I've been thinking, what has that got to do with this? That's just a tiny, tiny thing about the way that you say oaths. But we'll see that it's actually, it's pointing to a much bigger thing. So I just want to flag up what that is, okay? Jesus said, so basically, if you catch this bit, this is really what I want to say. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That is a man said that, a man walking on the earth. That is crazy. But this is part of, to me, the whole sort of backdrop to this thing, in this section in particular, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. But it's a complete thing. Don't take that. And no one comes to the Father but through me. The truth is there is a Father who loves every person, who has a plan, who has made a way for them to know his love if they want to accept that plan. And Jesus is saying, that is the truth, and I am that truth, because if you see me, you've seen the Father, and I am the way to the Father, and the Father and I are one. Okay? So that's the backdrop. I know that's from a different part of the gospel, but I'm just been trying to work this through. This is about truth. So let's read what the verses that we're looking at today are saying. Thank you. Okay, we pray you bless your word, Father God. Come, Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is Matthew 5, 33 to 37. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths that you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Okay, what's going on here? This thing about truth, there's a number of lists of word or expression of the year. And last year, you will not be surprised to know that one of the expressions was post-truth. Because it just seemed to be totally in our faces through basically referendum, presidential elections, and so on and so on. But it's actually a very old expression. Well, it's from the 90s, early 90s, it was actually mentioned. And in philosophy, which I know nothing about, it goes back further, just the whole concept of it. But the whole issue of truth and whether you can believe what you hear is, of course, as old as mankind. There's a saying that the first victim in turmoil, in war, is truth. And you find in history, it's very difficult to find out what happened to the people who were beaten. You can learn a lot about the victors because they've gained the right to tell their truth. So this whole thing of what is truth, what is real, what is right, what can I trust, is a massive thing. Pilate said, what is truth? That is an amazing encounter right there, isn't it? This incredible, powerful man. He could order anything in that whole area, Pontius Pilate. He has got before him the man, God, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, what is truth? He almost steps into this. And then he's, do you know what? The people are shouting, I got an empire to run. It's Barabbas, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, whatever, kill him. I find that one of the, you know, the Bible is full of these, Gospels are full, particularly, full of these amazing moments when he says, what is truth? Dad, we'll get back to that. Anyway, so this whole thing of how you use the truth and how you use what you say to others is massive. So what Jesus was picking up on was the Pharisees and their attitude to being able to be trusted. Right. Because the Pharisees were caught in a bit of a trap. You see, the third commandment says, you know, do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So they knew that was a serious thing they didn't want to do. And then there are other words through the scriptures saying, you know, if you make an oath unto the Lord, make sure you keep it, sort of in line with that. So the things of giving oaths are actually, you know, like a promise, I will do this. Okay. But what they realized was if they made an oath in the name of the Lord, they had to keep it. And that's not got any wriggle room at all. So what they started to do, they said, well, the next best thing would be to make an oath in something to do with God, but not quite God. Because then we probably won't get the full judgment of the third commandment. Do you see what they're trying to do? They're living their life according to those commandments, but they're trying to find a way through. And one of the reasons they're trying to find a way through is so they can control people. One of the reasons they're trying to find a way to twist their words is say, if you do this for me, I will do that for you, and I swear by the temple. And all Jesus is saying is that's meaningless. Why are you doing that? You're just trying to find a way out. So that's the underlying logic in this. This is what he was dealing with. He was dealing with the Pharisees trying to find the wriggle room. This is not against oaths as such. Jesus himself, when he was on trial, the high priest said, I adjure you by the living God. Tell me who you are. And he didn't say, I don't do oaths. Okay? God himself, this is amazing. God himself said to Abraham, when Abraham passed the test, with Isaac, the sacrifice. God said to Abraham, well done, you passed the test. I swear by myself that you will be blessed. And that promise, here's the good news, guys, it's not about ancient history. That promise comes down to you because that's the promise undergirding salvation. That's the promise undergirding salvation, it says. It comes in Hebrews, in Hebrews 6. I'm banging through this, not doing many references. Hebrews 6, 17. And it's saying, basically, because there was no one higher. Oh, guys, if you're not feeling valuable today, if you're feeling a bit rubbish, hear this. God says, in order to bless you, in order to you make you a way to myself where you can be blessed, I promise to bless you by my name. Now, there's two promises there. There's the promise, the oath, I will do it. That's the oath. And there's by his name, as it says, there was no one greater. That is what God is saying over you. And that's when the Hebrews, as Theo pointed out to us a few weeks ago, that's the amazing bit immediately following that, where it says we have an anchor. That's what it comes from. That's the context he's saying. That incredible promise gives rise to the hope. And it's the hope that goes in behind the veil. See, so if you read Hebrews 6, it looks a bit weird and stuff, but that is what it's based on. My God, it's a powerful bit of stuff. Powerful bit of stuff. See, they're coming in from all over to hear this now. Thank you, Lord. So that is the bit I wanted to say that about God keeping oath, because that just blessed me so much. Okay. How does this affect us? How does this affect us? He says, let's go to that last bit. Do not swear by your head, but simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. What he is saying is, don't try any tricks. Don't try any wordplay. Don't try and be clever. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. It's one of those sort of funny bits, isn't it? You know, it's pretty clear. You're not going to preach about an hour and a half on that I can see yet. You'd be glad to know. But what? How will people know? How will people know that they can take your yes? Because you are following the one who is truth. And they will look at your life. And they will say, can I trust this person? When I look at their life. This thing about post-truth, there's always been lies and stuff. I think it may be part of us as a society that in some areas we felt that for a while we were better informed and we were more trusting. And perhaps there was more accountability over some things, sort of coming out of some of the chaos of the past. And I think it maybe is that is now crumbling. Because there are many governments around the world and dictatorships and that are saying, no, truth's not important. Truth's not important. You only have to look at a few examples very recently. I've not got time. But you can see that truth is available to buy and sell like any commodity and is subservient to the wishes of those who are in power. And again, what Christ is saying, don't get into any of that. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And when people want to know why, they will look around behind and they will look at your life. And that's why it's there in the Sermon on the Mount. Because the Sermon on the Mount is saying, live like this and you will be persecuted. That's right at the beginning. So he doesn't hold that one back. Because your very life and your very truthfulness will be a challenge to the cloud of lies and the cloud of strange stuff going around you. And I think this can come down into very easy and simple things. The whole thing of exaggeration. Now, I'm half Irish, so I think exaggeration's fine. I think exaggeration is just polishing the truth, really. You know, the number of times my dad said, oh, that's the best laugh ever. That was the best laugh ever. Right, that one we just did. So the one last week, that's now the second best laugh, is it? Yeah, that's gone. You know, the Irish, it's a creative thing, isn't it? But we need to be careful. There are numerous Christian campaigns and organizations that have been quite reasonable, but have hit a rock of an untruth. For instance, a healing campaign. And someone says this person was healed, and then they find out maybe they weren't, or maybe even it's dodgy enough for the web to say there's a doubt. And the whole thing has come crashing down. You need to be very careful. Very careful what you say. Just a tiny thing. How we use words. I'm not going to go on a big thing with this, but I just want to point out how we use words, right? If a pizza is awesome, how do we describe God? Awesome. So the pizza is awesome and God is awesome. So we've got ourselves in a bit of a mess, haven't we? Do you see what I mean? You just need to be thinking about the way we use language. This is the other strand, I think, has come out of this. So a pizza is incredibly tasty. And I do like the chorizo. But the use of words, okay? That's just some homework to do in that. Because what is happening in this whole, you know, in this whole communication thing, it's like the words, the experiences have got to be better and the words have got to be more fantastic and everything's got to be just so amazing, it's incredible. And it's all got a bit, perhaps, hysterical. And maybe it's up to believers in Jesus to say, we follow a guy who described himself as the truth. We want to walk in his way. He is the life. And that's what we're going to be known as.